Chapter 18, Interlude, Coming to Terms with Music. The mind is a musical instrument with a certain range of tones, beyond which, in both directions, we have an infinite silence. John Tyndall. Musical terms are directions. Music can be loud or soft. Notes can be played short and choppy or smooth and flowing. A musical phrase can be played sweetly or crassly. And music can be played at many different speeds, from sleepily slow to furiously fast. The performer needs to know this information, and in most music, especially in Western classical music, the information is written in Italian. Why Italian? Way back when, beginning in the late 1500s, there was a lot of music making going on in Italy, and at the time, some bright soul thought to write these detailed instructions about how to play the music on the music itself. Because the composers were Italian, the instructions were written in, you guessed it, Italian. You'll occasionally see some terms in German and French and even English, especially if you play a piece by Percy Grainger, but the vast majority of musical terms are in Italian. Following are many Italian terms that are applied to music. They're grouped by category: tempo, how fast to go; dynamics, how loud or soft to play; articulations, how short or long a note is; general terms, and terms for different types of repeats. Included in this are the symbols that go along with a lot of these instructions. Dynamics. Dynamics is another word for how loud or soft to play. The base word to remember for dynamics are piano, quiet, and forte, loud. All of the dynamic markings are variations of these two words. Often in music, you'll see an abbreviation of the dynamic shown in parentheses in this table. And this is Table 1 on the website. Dynamic markings are relative, so you can't measure decibels to arrive at a proper mezzo forte, MF. You'll see dynamic markings that indicate playing both louder and softer than these basic ones. In Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony in B minor, he marks a bassoon solo as pianississississississimo. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 P's. In his 1812 overture, you know, the piece that calls for real cannons to be fired at the end, you can find a dynamic marking of fortississississimo, or 4 F's. In pep band and marching band, playing your very loudest is jokingly called blastissimo. In Table 1 on the book's website, these dynamic markings are listed from quietest to loudest, and they are pianissimo, PP, which is very quiet, like a whisper; piano, P, which is quiet, almost a whisper; mezzo piano, MP, moderately quiet, little softer than speaking; mezzo forte, MF, moderately loud, like your speaking voice; forte, which is loud, louder than speaking; fortissimo, FF, very loud, speaking loudly. I'm having a hard time not getting louder as I do this. Fortissimo, which is 3 F's, FFF, extremely loud, yelling. Getting louder and softer. In the Romantic era, around 1800, Western classical composers began writing music containing sections that would grow gradually louder or softer. Up until this time, for the most part, dynamic changes were usually abrupt. This new technique needed a name. What did they do? They used Italian, of course. To grow gradually louder is to crescendo. To grow gradually softer is to decrescendo or decrescendo. You might also see the abbreviations CRESC, period, or DECRESC, period. Or you could see diminuendo, DIM, which is another term for becoming gradually quieter. And in example 2 on the website, you can see the symbol for crescendo and the symbol for decrescendo. When I wrote out the musical example, I forgot to check what style I had chosen. You can see from this example that the note shapes are a bit different. It's a jazz font that has more of a handwritten look. I was going to change it back, but then realized it's a good opportunity to point out that, just like text, music has many different fonts. The one that I used for this example is called Inkpen. Tempo. Tempo is also an Italian word that comes from the Latin tempus, meaning time. In order to understand these tempos, or tempi for you Latin purists, we'll refer to the metronome and how many beats per minute for each tempo marking. Most metronomes have these markings listed somewhere on them. Here are the most common tempi from slowest to fastest, and this is example 3 on the website at basicmusictheory.audio. Largo is from 40 to 60 beats per minute. Larghetto is 60 to 66 beats per minute. Adagio is 66 to 76 beats per minute. Andante is 76 to 108 beats per minute. And andante I've always thought of as walking tempo. Moderato is 108 to 120. Allegro is about 120 to 168. Presto is 168 to 200. And prestissimo is 200 to 208. Of course, you can play faster than that. Articulations and accents. Articulation is a fancy way to say note length, although it can also mean how you attack and release the note as well. Depending on your instrument, there are many ways to change the length and feel of a note. For example, with wind instruments, the breath and the tongue are used. For bowed instruments like violin, viola, cello, and double bass, the bow is used. For piano, the instrument, not the dynamic, articulation is controlled by how long the keys are held down and the use of the sustain pedal. Articulations are indicated with a symbol that appears either above or below the note head. Articulations can also be shown by simply writing out the whole word under the notes to be affected. Articulations can also be combined, like the one you see here in example 4. In this example, the notes are given more emphasis, marcato, but are shorter, staccato. So this is shown with the two symbols, and the list of all the symbols and their names are in example 5 on the website. But don't wait for the music to tell you what kind of accent you should be using. Be proactive and make your music expressive on its own. These notations originated from the composer and musicians being expressive, not the other way around. Accents can often mean different things in different styles of music. If you're paying attention and have listened to enough of a particular style of music, that will help immensely. In fact, listening like this is essential, so do it. In example 5 on the website, there are 3 columns. There's the articulation and the symbol, what it looks like over a note, and its meaning. So since you can't see what it looks like, I'll tell you the articulation and describe its symbol, or try to, and tell you what it means. The first is accent, or marcato, and it is a V that's on its side. That means more emphasis is given to the note. Martellato, also called the tipi accent, is a V turned upside down. That's even more emphasis to the note. So here are a couple tricky ones. Sforzando with a T, that's SF, written above or below the note, and that means forced. Sforzando with a D is shown with an SFZ, also written above or below the note, and that's even more forced. Legato is a line, almost like an underscore, and that means to play the note full value. Staccato is a dot, and that goes above the note head. Now, this is different than the dot that follows a note. That adds length to the note, if you remember. This dot is directly above the note, and it means short. Staccatissimo is like an arrowhead pointed down towards the note head, or up towards the note head if it's written underneath. And a staccatissimo is very short. Phrases and ties and slurs, oh my. Two more types of articulations seen quite frequently are ties and slurs. Phrase markings are not an articulation, but I'll get to that after covering ties and slurs. Ties and slurs are very similar, but have one important difference. A tie is a curved line connecting two or more notes of the same pitch. A slur is a curved line connecting two or more notes of different pitches. The tie. Just like tying one piece of string to another gives you a longer piece of string, so tying two notes together makes for a longer note. There is no break between tied notes. Ties are often used to join notes over the bar line. Here are some tied notes in example 6, which you can find on the website. And in that example, you can see two quarter notes that are tied with a tie over the bar line. This makes for a note that is 2 beats long, or a sound, rather, that is 2 beats long, because it's 2 notes. The second is a dotted half note connected to a whole note. So that's 3 plus 4. So this makes for a sound, a long tone that's 7 beats sustained over a bar line also. The slur. The slur looks similar to the tie, but with one important difference. Slurs connect different notes. Notes of different pitches with the curving line over or under them are articulated as smoothly as possible. Here are some slurred notes in example 7. Notice how the final slur goes over the bar line. For wind players, a slur means no tonguing. For piano players, it means you hold the keys down for each note as long as possible and move smoothly from one note to the next. For guitar players, it might mean hammer-ons or pull-offs. For bowed instruments, the notes happen on the same bow stroke. Whatever your instrument, the idea is to make the change between notes as smooth as possible. Phrase markings. Sometimes a composer wants to indicate a long musical idea, a phrase, so the musician knows more clearly how to play the passage. It's very easy to confuse phrase markings with slurs because they use the same curvy line. Use your judgment if you're not sure which is which. Phrase markings are often quite long, covering 4 measures or more. General musical terms. The terms you've been introduced to in the last few pages are often paired with other Italian words, giving you more specific directions. For example, molto ritardando means slow down a lot. Sempre staccato means notes are always short. If you find a term that you don't know, you can look it up in the glossary of terms that you can download and print for free on this book's website. It's not a bad idea to have a pocket dictionary of terms in your instrument case. Hal Leonard Publishing makes a good small one. Putting one on your smartphone is a good idea, too. Example 8 on the website, you can see a small table with the term and its meaning. They are al, which means to the, and that's A-L, con, C-O-N, which means with, molto, M-O-L-T-O, which means very much, poco, P-O-C-O, which means little, sempre, which means always, and sempre is spelled S-E-M-P-R-E, and fine, F-I-N-E, which means the end. But not the end of this chapter. Next is peat and repeat. Almost all music has repetition. Repeats can be a single measure, a small section, or a large section. There are many ways to indicate these repeats in a piece of music. Repeat a single measure. The sign that you can see in example 9 on this book's website is called a bis, and it is a slash, a thick slash, with a dot on either side of the slash. The bis is used to show that the previous measure is to be repeated. If there is a number with this sign, say a 2, then the previous 2 measures are to be repeated, as shown in the top example to the right, and this is example 10 on the website. You might see more than one slash. Each extra slash means repeat a measure. So the lower example in example 10 that I just mentioned has a bis in it with 2 slashes. So that means exactly the same thing as the top example, which is a single bis with a 2 over it. In example 11, you can see another bis with several slashes. So take a look at it. How many measures are to be repeated using the bis that you see in example 11? Section repeat. For section repeat, this is example 12 on the website. A section repeat is shown with 2 sets of dots at the beginning and end of the sequence of measures to be repeated, and the bar lines that demarcate that section to be repeated are double bar lines. The second set of dots tells you to go back to the previous 2 dots. If there are no previous dots, the repeat goes back to the beginning of the piece. Above is a section repeat. This is example 12. In this example, after playing measure 4, you return to measure 2 and play those measures all over again. When you get to the dots the second time, keep going forward in the piece. Sometimes a section will be repeated more than once. In this case, at the beginning of the repeat, you'll get directions, usually in English, thankfully, telling you how often to repeat the section. First and second endings. Sometimes a section is repeated, but has a different ending the second time around. The first time through the section, play to the repeat sign and return to the previous repeat sign, or the beginning, as in the example below, which is example 13 that you can find on the website. The second time through, you have to skip that first ending that begins under the bracket with the number 1, and play the second ending, shown with the bracket and a number 2. In example 13, you would play through the first ending, return to the second measure where that double bar repeat is, and the second time through, you would skip measure 3, which is the first ending, and begin playing measure 4, the second ending. This example ends after the second ending. Many times, the piece continues onward. More complex repeats. The following terms and symbols that you can see in example 14, 15, and 16 on this book's website show more complicated types of repeats. As these repeats have to do with the way you navigate through an entire piece of music, it isn't feasible to show you an example here. But when you encounter these in a piece of music, you'll know what to do if you remember the following. Pay attention to a couple special symbols and one extra new term for these more complex repeats. The first symbol is the coda symbol, and that's example 14 on the website. The coda is a closing section of a piece of music, written in its own section. The coda is shown by the sign to the left. It looks kind of like a target. Sometimes a composer will end a piece by repeating a previous section of the music. Ending sections begin where you see this sign, called the sign, or in Italian, del segno. And that is a large kind of S-looking thing with what looks like a bis through it, a slash and two dots. That's example 15 on the website. There are four kinds of these more complex repeats. The first is da capo al fine, or DC al fine. This means go back to the beginning and play through to the end of the measure marked fine. Del segno al fine, DS al fine. Return to the sign, that's the DS sign that you just learned, and play through to the end of the measure marked fine. Da capo al coda, or DC al coda. This means go back to the beginning and then jump to the coda section at the coda sign. Del segno al coda, that's DS al coda. Return to the sign, the segno, that is the S with the bis in it, and jump to the coda section at the coda sign, which is kind of the target-like symbol. Again, take a look at these examples on the website at basicmusictheory.audio. Moving on. As you've just learned, there are many, many terms to know. Unless you have a photographic memory, it's a good idea to keep a pocket dictionary around in case you come across terms like grave, con moto, leggero, senza sordino, or other strange utterances.